Siddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Raj Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai. Namacharya Shri Haridas Thakur ki jai. Prem se kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar. Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Sham Kunradha Kundigiri Govardhan ki jai. Vrindavan Tham ki jai. Pradeep Tham ki jai. Jagannath Puri ki jai, Ganga Mahi ki jai, Jamuna Mahi ki jai, Tulsi Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Go Premanande. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Does it work for you? Works better for me if it makes this better.
Is that okay?
That seems like it's okay. Move around a little bit. Maybe is this a little low?
No, it's okay.
It's okay. Microphone's loud enough?
Loud enough.
Is it loud enough? You can hear in the back?
You can make it very loud.
You can make it very, yeah, you can. Okay. Accepted. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 4, Text 33. And while we're thinking, can we do a cell phone check? All cell phones. Vidura api buddhavach shrutva krishnasya paramatmanaha kridaya upatta dehasya pramani shlakhitani cha Viduro pyuddhavach chutva Krishnasya paramatmanaha Vidayo pata dehasya Pramani shlakhitani cha Viduro pyuddhavach chutva Krishnasya paramatmanaha Vidayo pata dehasya Pramani shlakhitani cha Viduro pyuddhavach chutva Krishnasya paramatmanaha Vidayo pata dehasya Pramani shlakhitani cha Viduro pyuddhavach chutva Krishnasya paramatmanaha Vidayo pata dehasya
Karmani shlakhitani cha
Karmani shlakhitani cha
Viduro pyuddhavach chutva
Viduro pyuddhavach chutva
Krishnasya paramatmanaha
Krishnasya paramatmanaha
Vidayo pata dehasya
Vidayo pata dehasya Pramani shlakhitani cha
Viduro
pyuddhavach chutva
Krishnasya paramatmanaha
Vidayo pata dehasya
Pramani shlakhitani cha
Viduro pyuddhavach chutva Krishnasya paramatmanaha Vidayo pata dehasya Pramani shlakhitani cha Viduraha
Viduraha
Vidura
Vidura
Api
Api
Also Uddhavat, from the source of Uddhava.
From the source of Uddhava.
Shrutva,
having heard.
Krishnasya, of Lord Krishna.
Parama
Atmanaha,
of the Supersoul.
Kridaya,
for the sake of pastimes.
In the mortal world.
Upatta,
extraordinarily accepted.
Dehasya,
Dehasya,
of the body.
Of the body.
Karmani,
Karmani,
transcendental activities.
Transcendental activities.
Shlaghitani,
Shlaghitani,
most glorious.
Most glorious.
Cha,
Cha,
awesome.
Awesome.
Vidura also heard from Uddhava about the appearance and disappearance of Lord Krishna, the Supersoul, in the mortal world, which is a subject matter sought after with great perseverance by the great sages. Purport. The subject matter of the appearance and disappearance of the Supersoul, Lord Sri Krishna, is a mystery even for the great sages. The word Paramatmanaha is significant in this verse. An ordinary living being is generally called the Atma, but Lord Krishna is never an ordinary living being because he is Paramatma, the Supersoul. Yet his appearance as one of the human beings and his disappearance again from the mortal world are subject matters for the research workers who execute research work with great perseverance. Such subject matters are certainly of increasing interest because the researchers have to search out the transcendental abode of the Lord, which he enters after finishing his pastimes in the mortal world. But even the great sages have no information that beyond the material sky is the spiritual sky, where Sri Krishna eternally resides with his associates, although at the same time he exhibits his pastimes in the mortal world, in all the universes, one after another. This fact is confirmed in Brahma Sanghita 5.37, Goloka eva nivasatya kilatma bhutaha. The Lord, by his inconceivable potency, resides in his eternal abode, Goloka. Yet at the same time as the Supersoul, he is present everywhere, in both the material and spiritual skies, by his multi-varieties of manifestation. Therefore, his appearance and disappearance are simultaneously going on, and no one can say definitely which of them is the beginning and which is the end. His eternal pastimes have no beginning or end, and one has to learn of them from a pure devotee only, and not waste valuable time with so-called research work. Om Agyanati Nirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dathati Shapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Jatapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Raghunatam Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Deena Pando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hori Priye Vansha Kolpukarupyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vaishnavi Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare
Viduro Pyutva Shrutva Krishnasya Paramatmanaha Kridiyo Patate Hasya Kamani Shlakitanja. Vidura heard from Uttava, Uttava Shrutva. That means he heard from the most exalted, intimate associate of Lord Krishna. Uttava was very intimate with Krishna. Therefore, when Krishna had some message to send to Vrindavan, especially to the gopis, he engaged Uttava for that purpose. He used to engage Uttava also as his advisor. What should we do? Should we have the Rajasuya Yajna? Should we fight with Jarasandha? What should be our course of action? Uttava was very thoughtful and sharp. So Krishna would consult him for advice. They were so close, Uttava even looked like Krishna, his physical features. And Uttava was always thinking of Krishna. Beyond that, so at the final point, Krishna chose to instruct Uttava, to entrust in Uttava confidential instructions. So Uttava was the authorized agent of the Lord, and Vidura, who was also a great devotee of the Lord, got the opportunity to hear from Uttava. Although, as we find elsewhere, he took initiation from Maitreya on account of Maitreya's being senior. He heard with great interest from Uttava about various topics, especially here it's mentioned the appearance and disappearance of Lord Krishna. Paramatma, the appearance and disappearance of the Supreme Soul, the Super Soul, the Personality of Godhead. Not about the life and death of such and such historical figure, but about Krishna. Krishna is also a historical figure, but his history is both historical and transcendental, because the Lord comes of his own free will to perform transcendental activities. The subject matter is sought after with great perseverance by great sages, or Prabhupada says great research workers. We happened to be out yesterday in the adjoining property where we met some great research workers. They're archaeologists associated with the University of Stockholm, and they're digging in the local fields because there are many artifacts of people who lived here up to 5,000 years ago. So they're recovering shards of pottery and arrowheads and little such things with tremendous interest. They're exceedingly interested, excited, absorbed in what they're finding in the sand, and what's one level down and what's one level up, and what this indicates and what that indicates, and what must have been over here and what must have been over there. They're utterly absorbed in this subject matter, and they're doing very serious research, undoubtedly funded by very serious funding also. And what is the subject of their research? Some people who lived here 5,000 years ago and were hunting seals and making fires and dying. There's some grave over there also. Very well-preserved bones. So their ultimate target is some ordinary people, finally. Some ordinary people who lived here in the Korshmisgarh area thousands of years ago, who ate, slept, mated, and defended themselves, and who went through birth and death a long time ago, and produced some pottery and arrowheads along the way. So undoubtedly it's exciting, and you can get all excited about archaeology because it's so intriguing and mysterious, and just the excitement of finding something. You know, the way kids are out on the beach with those little metal detectors, and if they find an old coin or anything, it's exciting. We found something, we found something. So there's excitement in research work, some new discovery. Everyone likes to discover something new. But finally, the research work, however enlightening in terms of the historical picture, you know, is useless. Because it doesn't solve the problems of life. As these people died here 5,000 years ago after making arrowheads and pottery, will die here also, or somewhere else. And that, for that you don't have to do a lot of research, but that fact is perhaps understood. But what are the ramifications of that? What do we do about that? We have hospitals, we have that sort of thing. But why do I have to die? And what is the purpose of my life while I'm here? Is it just to make huts and pottery and arrowheads and die? What is my, or to dig up the remains of people who made pots and arrowheads and huts and died? Is that the success of human life? So here, the research work concerns Krishna. We're curious. We're the same tendency to be very curious about something and to want to discover something is evident here. But the curiosity concerns the supreme subject matter, the personality of Godhead. In that area also, Srila Prabhupada indicates that there are researchers who are also wasting their time. Because they've got the right subject matter, but they've got the wrong process. They're interested in Krishna, but they're trying to understand Krishna by their blunt senses, or they're trying to understand Krishna by even archaeology. People try to understand something about Krishna just by research in old places, find out which people were worshipping Krishna when, and put together some picture of Krishna in terms only of history. And because they neglect the method of hearing from self-realized souls, they can't actually understand. Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samagata. He remains covered by his own internal energy. He doesn't reveal himself to anyone and everyone, even though they do great research. Pantastuko ti satavatsara sampragam yoga yorata api manaso munipungavana. So pyasti yat prakadasim yavachinchatat. Even if one could do research work at mental speed for thousands of years, one couldn't reach the tip of the toe of Govinda. Krishna is not reachable that way. One has to understand Krishna and Krishna's abode by hearing from a person like Uttama, as Vidura chose to do. Viduro pyutavachchutva Krishnasya Paramatma. He wanted to hear about the Paramatma, personality of Godhead, from such a deeply realized soul as Uttama. Kridiya upata dehasya karmani shlagitani cha understand Krishna and the transcendental pastimes of Krishna. Krida means sporting activities, the play of the Lord, the pastimes of the Lord. For Krishna, it's all pastime. For us, it's something else. For us, it's suffering. Dehasya, we have to accept this body, and the body imposes upon us so many miseries. We have to get old, we have to get diseased, we have to die. That's the ordinary acceptance of a material body. But here, Upata, Srila Prabhupada glosses as extraordinarily accepted. The Lord accepted a form in this material world, but an extraordinary form, not the ordinary one made of matter, but he manifested his transcendental form. Sambhavami Atmamayaya, he comes by his own energy to perform these glorious activities. Shlakitani cha, karmani shlakitani. Not the karma of the ordinary conditioned souls, but the glorious activities of the personality of Godhead. Janma karma cha me divya. Evam yo vedi tattvataha. Chaktva deham punarjanma. Naiti mameti sarvam. If one can simply understand the transcendental appearance and activities of Purushottam, the personality of Godhead, one becomes liberated from material existence. One goes back to the abode of the Lord, and that makes one's life successful. All right, let's see what kind of questions we have today. If any.
How do devotees make decisions? Sometimes there are a wide range of options.
How do devotees make decisions? Sometimes there's a wide range of options. Well, sometimes the decision is made for them and all they have to do is accept it. Spiritual master says, do this, they do it. Or other authorities, temple president, or some person in a position of authority says something, and that's it, you don't have to go further. That makes life easy. If we have to second-guess every decision, that complicates our life and also complicates the work. Imagine in the army if every private, every sergeant, every lieutenant has to reevaluate every decision that's coming from the higher command and decide whether he's going to follow it. Nobody would ever win anything. Now, in some extraordinary circumstance, the soldier even disobeys an order or ignores an order because circumstances have changed or because the colonel's gone mad or what have you. But that's extraordinary. That's extraordinary. Ordinarily, the decision is made by the higher command and one simply has to follow. Describes the same process in Bhagavad Gita. Says one has to follow the instructions of higher authorities as if in military discipline. So that simplifies life a lot. You don't have to decide everything. You just follow. But there's also a wide range of decisions which are not made by higher authorities, which are matters of individual discretion or individual choice. And how do we make those decisions? We may consult the spiritual master in that case also. I have this position, what should I do? And then that again makes it easy. It's not an order, but it's a decision, and we have advice. Or we may approach advanced devotees, sadhus. This is the situation, what should I do? And we may consult one sadhu in whom we have trust, or we may consult, just as sometimes president, when there's a heavy decision, he consults several ministers, or they get together as a group, what should we do considering these circumstances. We find sometimes in Vedic literature that there's that sort of consultation. If someone suggests something, someone else suggests something else. Kind of convocation of sages, and they arrive at an understanding by discussion or by carefully considering the subject matter. That we find that in the Rajasuya Yagya of Maharaj Yudhisthira, the question came up, who should be the first person to worship? And someone said, well, this could be like this. Someone said, it could be like that. And who was that? Sahadev said, there's nobody but Krishna. There are so many great persons in this assembly, but Krishna is the best person. And then everyone hearing that, they all agreed, yes, this is the right suggestion. So they were all prepared to do that, except for, of course, one. What shall we call him? Gentleman. But Shishupal, who couldn't go along with it. No. Krishna's, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in the world. There are so many Bhijmas here, and there are so many other great senior persons who are all fit to accept his worship, and you're suggesting someone who's, nobody knows whether he's a Brahmin or whether he's a Kshatriya or a Vaishya, and nobody, he has no qualities, and so on and so on and so on. Anybody but him. And he just went on bad-mouthing Krishna, until Krishna himself finally decided that enough had been said, and ended the discussion with his Sudarshan chakra. But then the decision was easy. After Shishupal was out of the scene, there was unanimity that Krishna was the right person. So sometimes we'll call together a group of devotees and say, what are we going to do? What should I do, or what should we do? We consult. There's also a consultation of Shastra. What is my duty according to Shastra? Should I do this or should I do that? Shastra tasmat shastra pravadante karya karya vinastita. One should know what is to be done and what is not to be done from Shastra. So sometimes simply we look in Shastra, we get the answer, or sometimes we really have to look through Shastra with great with great penetration to try to understand what the final verdict is of Shastra. Or we combine, we get the sadhus together with the Shastra, and we say, it says this here, but it says that there. The sadhus, anyway, their basis is the Shastra. Guru also, his basis is Shastra. And we look for inspiration from Krishna. We chant Hare Krishna, we pray to Krishna, please enlighten me what to do. We look for inspiration from Krishna. But we like to have our decisions confirmed also. Otherwise everybody's inspired. Krishna inspired me to jump off the Empire State Building. Krishna inspired me. Everybody's inspired by Krishna to do strange and opposite things. So we get our decisions confirmed by devotees, the spiritual master. These are some of the... In the absence of the spiritual master, one consults the instructions of the spiritual master. One remembers the instructions of the spiritual master. What did my spiritual master tell me? And tries to act in accordance with the instructions given by the spiritual master.
And the highest command, how does the highest command come through?
Highest command also. They consult Shastra. They consult the previous Acharyas. Highest command is Krishna. He doesn't consult it. He consults Uddhava. Even Krishna sets the example. He consults, although he's capable of deciding everything himself. He also consults Uddhava. What do you think we should do? Although he's the ultimate highest command, even he consults. But otherwise, our superiors are consulting their superiors all the way back to Krishna. And they're sometimes consulting the sadhus. Even sometimes Prabhupada, the spiritual master sometimes consults his disciples. We saw that Srila Prabhupada would have some decision and he would call his disciples in. So what shall we do? Come on, Krishna Maharaj, what do you think? Such and such, what do you think? And then he would consider. And sometimes he would have one idea and the disciple would give a different idea, probably would come with that idea. Yes, that's a better idea. That's called humility. We can get good ideas also from others. It's also a training that the spiritual master may not need to consult, but he trains the disciples in the process of consulting, by consulting them also. But apart from training, we saw that apparently Prabhupada genuinely would be interested in taking opinions. Or sometimes Prabhupada would take in some matter which was not, you know, Shastric matter, Prabhupada would take consultation from the experts in legal matters. So consult the expert lawyers or astrologer, even not the Prabhupada very often, but sometimes he would very rarely, basically only in his last days, you see. And he would consult and see what they say, or medical men consult in his last days, anyway. So consult the doctors, get another opinion, see what they say. So he would consult. Or sometimes Prabhupada would just consult Krishna. Ishra Sarvabhutana Mideya Sarvajana Jishkati. More probably would consult Krishna than doctors, astrologers, and lawyers. The process is to consult Krishna directly or indirectly. Even indirectly through the Shastras, through the Acharyas, through the spiritual master, through the devotees. Said the process is simultaneously direct and through the parampara system. Something else? Is that okay? Yes.
Did Srila Prabhupada ever mention that he wanted all his books being printed by the devotees?
Did he ever mention that he wanted all his books printed by the devotees? You mean physically printed? In the beginning, that was the plan. There were some devotees, Advaita, Uddhava, Patita Pavan, or Uddhara, different names, who were studying, who took jobs as printers with the idea of learning printing, bookbinding, and so on, so that we could print our own books. And Prabhupada was very much eager to do that. And we did, in fact, set up our own press, ISKCON Press, first in Boston, then in New York. And Prabhupada was very much behind that. But later we saw that it made more sense to get them printed outside. The economics and the other factors involved just made it more sensible to print with, especially Dynapon was our early printer. So Prabhupada
shifted from our own printing to printing outside. So he was in favor of both, according essentially whatever was going to work. It wasn't just sentimental, but we want to have our own press, even if it costs more and produces books of poorer quality. But as a way of getting started, we did that. And then other things did work out. The pre-press for the first book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, was entirely done by Brian Thomas. They did the typesetting. Yeah, the typesetting was done in monotype, pot metal, I believe, died upon in Japan, with proofs going back and forth and corrections being made in the real old way of doing it. But then the devotees, Prabhupada's disciples, took over really all the aspects of pre-press, the typesetting, proofreading, making the, doing the photography doing the layout and photography for the actual pages, making films, stripping up the films even. I think for some time we were working with the printers and saving money by doing the stripping. So that worked, and Prabhupada, we kept that system. We're still keeping that system. But then printing didn't work. But then maybe again, in some circumstances, it does work. Small runs or particular countries. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Why was that decision made to print in Japan? At that time, most of major portion of distribution happened in the USA. Why not print
in the USA? I don't know how they first got linked up with Dhyanapan. That would be a good question to ask Brahmananda Prabhu. He was the first person who was dealing with them. I don't know how he first came in touch with them. Whether he just took quotes from all over and Japan came in moments, or whether some sort of other consideration. I don't know. I know once they got started, Prabhupada liked their quality. Prabhupada liked their way of dealing. Prabhupada especially liked that they printed on credit, that they advanced quite liberally in printing with the expectation of receiving payment later on, which of course they did. Prabhupada was good customer for Dhyanapan. They printed the books, and Prabhupada saw that they were duly paid, and then he printed more books, and he had something very good going with Dhyanapan, so he printed a lot in the early days, especially the Krishna books. Well, the Krishna books were printed with Dhyanapan, and maybe some Bhagavatams were also there. I forget exactly, but TLC certainly, and then both Krishna books. I think there were some more other things. Prabhupada liked them. They did good work. They were also very respectful to Prabhupada. And so they were the beginning. They were of course a very top Japanese printing company. They were the head of technology and so on. I don't know how we can start with that. Mm-hmm.
Mark, I was wondering about Prabhupada's preaching strategies. And he was pushing book distribution. And in ISKCON, we're still doing a lot of book distribution, but specifically on the streets. And I was wondering that Prabhupada said that we should distribute on the streets. But was that according to time?
Prabhupada didn't specifically say you should distribute on the street.
No, but I mean, like, that's what
he said, you should distribute.
Yeah, for sure. But I'm saying, but in this world now, like, distributing on the street is like the main fool. Or like,
distribution on the street, but Prabhupada didn't, I don't recall Prabhupada saying, you should go on the street and distribute my books. You should distribute my books. That was the instruction. Somehow or other, especially in the beginning, we have all these books, and they're not being distributed. We ordered all these teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and you've got them, but you're not selling them. We've got all these books, and now they're not being distributed. So what's the use of just printing the books? We want to distribute the books. So in the beginning, he was just telling the devotees, somehow distribute these books. Brahmananda and Gragamuni and maybe others were trying to figure out how to get the books into bookstores and how to sell books. And it's just a group of people in a storefront chanting Hare Krishna and doing other things, and their spiritual master tells them to print books. They get the book printed. Now he says, distribute. I want my books distributed. So they're, looking at how books are distributed. They're distributed basically in stores. Prabhupada had gone to Orientalia and other New York bookstores and sold his books. You sell them at the Sunday, you have a shelf in the temple, and you show people the books and you encourage them to buy the books. Maybe you go around to the little, at that time, psychedelic stores and other such stores in the Lower East Side, and you try to put copies of the books there and come around now and then and sell them and see if any have been sold. Anyway, they were trying to sell the books, and they weren't doing a whole lot. And then the devotees themselves, two things happened. Prabhupada then, he started up that you should go out chanting. At that time, they only used to go to the park on Sundays and chant for some hours. But Prabhupada, every day you should go out and chant Hare Krishna and distribute Bhaktivedantas. Bhaktivedanta was also being distributed the same way. They put the copies in the head shops. They would have some copies on the shelf. But if they went on some engagement, they would bring it back to Godheads. But then Prabhupada said you should go out and chant and also distribute back to Godheads. You chant Hare Krishna, speak for a few minutes, and distribute these magazines. And he just said every gentleman will give a quarter, 25 cents, which was enough. So distributed back to God. And then back to God had started being distributed. And then Prabhupada said, and you can also distribute books. And when you go out for chanting, distribute the magazines and distribute the books. And that was like, can we really do that? How do you distribute, everyone will give a quarter, but who's going to give $10 just while you're chanting Hare Krishna on the street? You approach people for donations, people give 10 cents, 25 cents, 50 cents, maybe someone gives a dollar or so, but how do you actually sell a book? But Prabhupada said you show them the book and tell them about the subject matter and in this way. And some books got sold. Some books got sold. And then gradually in California, Keshava Prabhu and others discovered that they could really go out and sell these books in serious numbers. And the devotees themselves devised the various means that have been tried with success or failure. Some things haven't worked very well, and some things have worked. It wasn't so much because Prabhupada specifically said, do it this way or that way, go into the street, except for one thing that we've seen in the books where Prabhupada says, go door to door. If you go, as far as I've seen in the books, the one thing that Prabhupada says many times is go door to door. And that still is not done very much, but that I take as a hint as to where we're going to see a lot of success in book distribution or in spreading Krishna consciousness, because Prabhupada says again and again that the devotees of the Lord go door to door. So I think we're going to see that's a different sort of encounter than meeting somebody on the street and trying to stop someone in the street and interrupt his wherever he's going and try to insert a little bit of Krishna consciousness. If you get the opportunity to speak to someone at his home, there's further possibilities. But on the street, in public places, at home, at the temple, at festivals, wherever. Prabhupada saw that we were distributing books at airports, we were distributing books on the streets, we were distributing, and he was encouraged, and he encouraged the devotees to go on in this way. But I don't think he particularly started to go to the street. Excuse me?
Was there any follow-up system at that time?
There was, sometimes. BBT had a secretary whose name was Swaroop. When you wrote to 3764 Westlake Avenue, the address was in the books, then you got a reply from Swaroop. And Prabhupada did give him some explicit instructions about how to reply to people and how to encourage people. So Prabhupada did have that in mind also. Of course, the last instruction about book distribution was to distribute sets. That was, Prabhupada was pushing that. Of course, not to, he, libraries, he very much wanted, and he pushed that. In all the schools and colleges and libraries, our books should be there. And then he was also pushing sets. But not just libraries should take sets, but everyone should take sets. Should distribute sets of books. That was a very definite instruction from Prabhupada.
What is a set?
A set is, well, set may differ, but whole sets of Srimad Bhagavatam, whole sets of Chaitanya Charitamrita, or whole sets of all of Prabhupada's books. It's a set. Great stress on books. Can't hear you.
How do you understand that there's such a big gap between the vast numbers of books being distributed and apparently known to come to devotees? And
how do you reconcile the vast number of books being distributed sometimes and the relatively small number of people who respond or become devotees?
And vice versa. Like, in some areas where there's no book distribution, where devotees are being produced. Like,
where there's no distribution, but a lot of devotees come. Where's that?
No, no distribution, but less emphasis. Like when they're using other means.
Well, first of all, where there's life, there'll be something happening. Whether it's books or festivals or one way or another, if there's an active attempt to attract people, then that will have an effect. Even like we hear about these warriors, you know, they lose their sword, but they keep fighting. Or they don't have, you know, an army that just doesn't have the weapons, but somehow or other they devise the ways and means. And sometimes they also prevail just because of their determination to fight, maybe smart strategy. Even though they, you know, like in the Vietnam conflict, I think America had the superior artillery and firepower, but the North Vietnamese had tactics and other advantages. So even though they didn't have, you know, the tremendous firepower of the United States of America, they had other assets, and they even won. Or at least, if you bring the United States to a draw, you've won. So the devotees who are trying to spread Krishna consciousness without books, one way or another, but where there are books, then you see real action. Whether books distributed, the books themselves make devotees, and there's so much testimony about, how did you come? I got it back to Godhead. I got a book. I got a book. I got it back to Godhead. I got a book. This book was sitting in such a way that there's like, we have mountains of testimony from people who came because they got a book. Because the book goes, it has a powerful effect. So the more we distribute our books, the more our Krishna consciousness movement spreads. Now, why when we're distributing, if we distribute 100,000 books and 5 people become devotees? Well, first thing is that, we're not so easy. Out of Krishna says, Manusyanam Sahasrashu, out of thousands and thousands of men, one will be interested. In any propaganda, it's that way. In mail order, a 0.5% response is considered good. Sometimes. It's not like if you send out a mailing and you get a 50% response. Nobody gets a 50% response. Mail order success in mail order campaigns run on 1%, 2%, 3%. And when they're like working on upping their figures, they're looking at going from 3% to 3.5%. They have a wildly successful campaign, 5% response. When you make propaganda, it's always like that. It's not that you canvass 100 people and you sell 100 units, or you get 100 volunteers or whatever. You put your net out, you go out to 10,000 people and you get 5 recruits or 5 customers or 5 volunteers or 5 whatever it is, 5 helpers. It's always like that. It's not that you get, that you talk to 100 people and you get 100 yeses. And then especially when you're presenting is something which is contrary to what the material world is for. The material world is sense for gratification. We have a different idea. So we may not expect that hordes of people will be. But Prabhupada said if even one person comes, we consider it a success. He said it's like we're in the diamond business. There are spiritual movements where they have wild success, They sign up hundreds and thousands of people and sell them a mantra for $20 a piece. During the 1960s, there was a big guru, and he was, famous everywhere, and there was this mantra, and everybody got their own mantra, and it was like $20, but they had millions of people signed up. And that was good business. What were we doing by comparison to them? But it was considerably easier for them because their product was, you'll feel better, you'll get better grades, your sex life will improve, everything will just get better. And what do you have to do? You spend 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes in the evening, chant the mantra, and there are no other rules. Well, sure. All gain and no pain at a good cheap price. So, for that kind of schlock product, we're not competing with them. Tiffany's doesn't compete with Walmart. Walmart does the huge business, but Tiffany's sells the premium stuff. They have fewer customers. Everybody goes to Walmart to buy cheap stuff. But people who have an eye for, an eye for the highest quality stuff and who have the money for it, shop at Tiffany's or wherever it is. People who want diamonds, they don't want Swatch. So those customers are fewer, but they're buying the highest quality stuff.
Just to add to that, and it's also because we don't
systematically follow up, which is maybe the thrust of your comment also. Is, you know, it's, if you throw out your you throw out your line and you throw out your bait, and you don't have a line attached to it, you're not going to catch a lot of fish. So that has to be there also. You have to be thinking about, okay, great, we distribute the books. What is our goal in distributing the books? What's the process? That we just, is it just that we throw them and wait for people to come? Or do we have something more than that that systematically tries to find out who's interested, with whom the books have struck a chord, and give them some further path for expressing their interest? If we don't do that, you distributed 1,000 leaflets advertising your product and you didn't give an address or a telephone number, well, you may not, some people may find you anyway, but you're not going to sell as much. Okay, what were you going to say? It may be slightly different by proportion, the difference between, sending out flyers or calling people on the telephone or making home visits or whichever way your method is for approaching customers or prospects. But the same principle holds that you don't get everyone. You get a percentage because not everyone is interested. Not necessarily. We know that people buy our books not because they necessarily have a burning interest in spirituality, but because a nice person asked them to buy the book, or because it wasn't very much and the person said something that made it sound interesting, and okay, it was a little interesting, but it's kind of tangential to what their real interest is. If it had been a book on the stock market, that would have really been right up their alley, but because it was about something spiritual, okay, $3, I'll take a book. But it's not yes, if we were selling books at $250 a piece, you could probably figure that the people who took the books had an actual interest. They must have been seriously interested to spend that kind of money. But when you're giving books at a very low price, you're essentially you're doing broadcasting. You're casting your nets wide. Our book distribution is not highly targeted. We're not searching out the most interested people, focusing in on them, recognizing that they're the ones. We're really going to anyone and everyone. And by our enthusiasm and by the attractive appearance of the book, and this way or that way, by Krishna's mercy, so many books go out. But it's not because we've somehow or other found the most interested people in the country, and they're the ones. It's by good fortune that people get the books. But then some of those people are more interested, and those are the people you want to identify and have further interactions with, or the people that you want to make it easy to pursue their interest.
And Lord, if we are selling diamonds, if we are selling diamonds, the companies that sell diamonds, they represent themselves as diamond sellers.
Mm-hmm.
So they're reputable. They don't need you. You need them. So by presenting ourselves in the street, because people have connotations with people that sell.
Well, this is all tactical discussion. What's the best mode of presentation?
No, but I mean, as a principle, Maharaj, should we be going to people, or should we just say, this is what we are, and we've got the highest thing?
Here we are, come look for us. Srila Prabhupada encouraged us to go out. if you wait for the people to come to you, you may be waiting a long time. You may be waiting a long time. Prabhupada encourages that we should go out. Now, how you go out, Prabhupada didn't want, you know, following up on what you said, Prabhupada didn't want the devotees looking like hippies and bums. They should look respectable. Prabhupada liked that. Not that, you know, these are a batch of hobos, you know, homeless people who were distributing these books, but it should be respectable. That should be there. Now, what tactic do you use to persuade people that this is actually, these books are, and the philosophy behind them are something of great value and great integrity and so on? That's the subject matter for discussion. Well, that's probably not this morning's discussion, but that's the subject matter for discussion. And that's what devotees do. They Prabhupada said, strain your brain. Many times he said, you should strain your brain to spread Krishna consciousness, to distribute these books. That's what that's how we kind of started doing. We strained their brains. It means you're thinking, somehow I have to distribute these books, somehow I have to distribute. And then you could be thinking, somehow I have to follow up on the distribution, see what's happened to all those people who got the books. I have to have a way to pursue their interest, or that they can pursue their interest. That's called straining your brain. Anything else?
There's one last one.
One last
one. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, but even the great sages have no information that beyond the material sky is the spiritual sky.
Mm.
What kind of sages are those? Which ones does he mean here?
Less informed sages, obviously. Prabhupada at one point seems to be, at the end, seems to be, actually, as you read the purport, it seems like these sages or these research workers are being very much appreciated because they're researching about Krishna. And you sort of think it's like a, yes, devotees are research workers. But then at the end, Prabhupada deprecates them. They're wasting their time with so-called research work. So it has to be the mundane researchers or the sages who are going by intellectual acumen, by the empiric method, not the devotees, because the devotees are not wasting their time. The non-devotee sages. Okay. Thank you all.
Krishna. Oh, Krishna, Krishna.
Yati Nasa.
I try.
Well, the old Puerto Pro vehicles, that's a little bit.
Yeah.
Here.